influence and power, if you want, that's the higher order capital, because you can always use it to get to the other capitals.
I sent two units. They're bringing her down now.
No, Lieutenant, your men are already dead.
The future is approaching faster than ever.
Technological change is speeding up, and your already maladapted evolutionary mismatches are multiplying.
In the future, the current version of you is already dead. The way around that is to keep learning, keep evolving, mentally, psychologically, physically, and financially. If you want to measure someone's real sense of power, and also their ability to be future-proof, then you should consider how they rank across the four capitals that we're going to talk about today. And these four capitals, they're also a really good way for you to measure your quarterly progress.
We'll get to that in a minute, but this is Michael Syding and
Ludvig Sundström.
All right, back to the four capitals.
Yeah, so the four capitals are financial capital, money, what you own. Then you have social capital, your network, who you own. Who you know.
No, I think it's who you own. Good Freudian slip there.
Yeah. And then you have cultural capital, knowledge, what you know. And then finally, influence capital, which is like your authority and how much people trust you.
I always have a little bit of a problem defining that fourth capital, influence and authority. It kind of stems from the other three often. So keep that in mind, that if you feel a little bit confused about the fourth kind of capital, then you're not alone.
Yeah, I think the best way to look at it, at least that I like to do, is authority. What is authority? Well, it's like people look up to you or trust you, something that you earn over a long period of time. But where do you have that? It's like you have, for example, someone who's a domain expert. They're trustworthy in that domain or area. You'll take their advice there, like a psychologist or something. You'll take their advice when it comes to maybe your personal life, but you're not going to take their financial advice. So that's domain-specific authority. But some people you might listen to in many, many more areas, so they have much more authority probably.
Yeah, I think the reason I mix these up is that the cultural capital, knowledge, what you know, people can look up to you and your authority based on, for example, what you know. But the difference between cultural capital and influence is that cultural capital, that is what you actually know for yourself. Whereas the influence, it comes from your ability to use and leverage that cultural capital in the external world.
Yeah, and it's also a matter of, it's also a lot like in the eye of the beholder. If you take someone who's a famous, or not necessarily famous, but like a really smart, book smart person, or like a really smart scholar or a poet or something, a really smart person who's learned a lot over the years, but, you know, how do other people view that person? That's what matters. Like they might just think nothing of it. Some people acquire fame in the wrong way, and then that ruins everything. Even though they might be smart, they'll never be seen as smart.
Exactly. So going over the capitals again, you can have all the money in the world, you can know all the right people in the world, and you can have all the knowledge in the world. But if people still don't look up to you and respect your authority, you don't have influence capital.
Respect my authority.
Yeah, respect. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. So the four capitals. It's a good way to measure, I guess, power and staying power and being future proof. But it's also a really good way to measure your progress each quarter. So you know, it's very hard to progress in many areas at the same time, especially once you've gone past the newbie gains in an area.
Yeah, so don't just think about your current standings in these four capitals, even though you should gauge those as well from time to time. But think about your progress rate. Are you progressing in one or all of these capitals? And maybe you would want to focus on one at a time. But I would also like to stress that you should think about what your optimal or ultimate target is. Where are you heading and why? Maybe you want to be even rounded and good on all four for some reason. Maybe you want to become a big industrial billionaire or something. Or maybe you just want to be as knowledgeable as possible, and lever whatever capital you have in the other areas, just in order to gain the most amount of cultural capital. So just think about it, and don't just go after the money, because that's what everybody else does.
Yeah, and on that note, something that you have said many times, both I think on the podcast, especially the Swedish one, but also in real life, in conversation and stuff like that, which is that it can change over time.
Yeah, exactly. So don't pay too much respect to your younger self. Your 14-year-old self maybe thought that a convertible Lamborghini is the coolest thing that you could ever own, and that's all that matters. But once you get to be 45, maybe that's not the ultimate goal anyway.
Yeah, another thing, like I was reading on the Four Capitals, that is, I was reading Ray Dalio's Principle book the other day, and there was something in the beginning of that book, I was just kind of skimming it, and he was saying that you have to consider what you really want out of life, and you also have to consider the relative weight of those things.
Yeah, exactly. I think he also says that you can get or become anything you want, but you can't become everything you want at the same time.
So let's go over some extreme examples of the Four Capitals, just to hopefully really hammer it in. So if you take physical capital, money, you know, you can think about Uncle Scrooge in, you know, the Donald Duck magazine.
Yeah, some of my relatives often say that I'm Uncle Scrooge, which I don't really think is a correct picture of me. Another type of just pure financial capital would be a lottery winner. Let's say it's a real hillbilly with no cultural capital, knows nobody, and has no influence, but just comes into a lot of money through a windfall gain.
Yeah, and unless it's a huge amount of money, you know, as statistics show, they'll usually lose that money because they're not smart enough to keep it.
Yeah, and often end up with debt on top of that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Then if we move on to social capital, one of the favorite examples that I have there in my mind when I think about this is the Godfather. He's the guy who knows everyone in the village, and you can trust him to get you favors with anyone or get you an introduction to anyone because he knows everyone.
Would you say he's actually a pretty good example of influence as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you would take his advice on probably anything.
Yeah, so for a number of reasons. Some are actual respect for his person, and others are respect for his weapons and goons.
Too late, they start shooting in a week. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Anyway, you see what I'm saying when I say it's sometimes difficult to tell these ones apart. Okay, moving on to cultural capital and knowledge, what you know. Richard Feynman. I would say this is the only person I would call an idol or a role model. This is a guy who's curious, he's smart, he tries and he fails, and he's never phased in with any kind of challenge. So if you don't know Richard Feynman, you should look him up. This is like the coolest guy there is.
Yeah, he's really cool. Yeah. And then if you take finally influence, I would say Oprah Winfrey. She's a really good example.
Yeah, she could get anybody to buy anything.
Yeah. And also give away, like the example of when she gave away cars in the audience and everyone loved her more.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right. So now we get to something like a really important implication of this idea of the Four Capitals. And one of the most important implications is that most people, they overweight the value of money because it's the most available metric. You can look at how much money someone is making, or you can track it, or you can find out about their net worth by Googling it or something, but you can't find out about the other three capitals. You don't have a tangible value for that.
I think a lot of people with high orders of value on the other capitals, they tend to hide it as well. You don't want people to know that you are in the Illuminati. If you have the ultimate influence and social capital, then you really want to be left alone.
Yeah, maybe we should name this episode, title it something with Illuminati.
Anyway, in my view, influence and power, if you want, that's the higher order capital, because you can always use it to get to the other capitals. And if you turn it around, if you only have financial capital, sure, you can maybe you can buy an education, but you still have to put in the work. But it's very difficult to gain real social capital, friends and networks, or for that matter, true influence with just money. And sooner or later, your money will run out anyway.
Yeah, and you should also consider that money, you know, the purchasing power of money, inflation and things like that, and the printing of money, those are things that you have to really pay a lot of attention to once you gain a lot of money. You don't just make the money, you have to protect it also. And then the more money you have, the more time you have to put in protecting that money, which is time consuming.
Yeah, but don't get us wrong. I like money. I'm sure you do as well. I mean, it's useful. You can use it for a lot of good things, and it enhances your freedoms. This podcast and other things we do, they are definitely geared towards helping both ourselves and you make as much money as you want to. But at the same time, I will stress again and again that money shouldn't be the focus. Money is just a means to get what you want, and money can also be just the gauge of telling whether you are headed in the right direction or not. If you are creating value, then typically financial capital will amass on your bank account as well, just as a side effect.
Yeah, yeah. The big point to make here is that money is the most easily available metric. So it's easy to focus extra on that, whereas the other ones get looked over. And if you take someone who is like a young person and they're having a pretty normal wage, but they're learning three times faster than the next guy, and they're also building like an elite network of individuals within an industry or some specific area of life, you know, you're not going to notice that person that much because it's harder to measure that. But if you have another guy who's making three times as much salary, but lagging behind in everything else, that guy is, you're probably going to think that guy's doing much better.
I found myself in this situation sometime in my early 20s when I had a really low wage and I was just getting started in the finance industry. And I was away on some travels with a couple of acquaintances, and when everybody's wages were put on the table, they said, "Oh, I had no idea we had a low wager with us. That I was poor and not making as much as the others." Well, fast forward a couple of years, and I made 10 to 100 times as much as they did.
You think that made you more motivated?
And no, actually, I didn't change anything. This was just an effect of the way I studied and the way I worked, and slowly building up my, I would say, both cultural and social capital up till a point where the effect was a lot of financial capital.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the point to make here, I think, is that what we just described is the archetype of the people who get really rich usually, but they might not do it in their 20s. They might do it later in life, in their 30s or 40s, because like a slow compound build-up effect. And I think one of the best examples that I've learned here is Jimmy Iovine, who was the founder of Interscope Records. And you can see this in a documentary called The Defiant Ones. And so Jimmy Iovine, he works with Eminem, Dr. Dre, and like Beats by Dre. And he knows everyone who's who in Hollywood and everyone in the music industry. And he's a billionaire also. But he didn't become a billionaire until he was like 40. He was basically a nobody, even until his mid-30s. But throughout all that time, he was learning all the ins and outs in the music industry. He was working harder than most people. He was learning like a crazy guy. And then he was getting to know all these people, all these up-and-coming artists who weren't famous yet, but they actually became someone, like Bruce Springsteen, U2, Gwen Stefani, Eminem, Dr. Dre, all these people, like everyone. Everyone that's a really big artist now, but was no one then.
I'm having a hard time here understanding, why are we talking about this guy? He wasn't even a billionaire until he turned 40.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll let that one slip. Anyway, as you said, this is a case of availability bias almost. You know how much people make, and you see it in popular culture that people who just come into some money that they haven't really earned. I'm not poo-pooing on any artists or athletes here, but some people, when they get a lot of money suddenly, they start just wasting it on conspicuous consumption, where the only reason for the consumption is to be seen and to be, I don't know, it's almost childish. It's like, look how good I am. Please give me some praise. I bought this super big gold chain. And since this is what you see in popular culture, if you are a poor person and therefore your focus really is on getting the next dollar and being able to buy your groceries the next week, and you see this on TV, you think too that money is the object.
Yeah, but then you're often neglecting all these four other capitals, partly because it's not well known maybe, and also because they're harder to measure. So think deeper.
Think deeper,
like cultivate higher order thinking and look at how they come together, these four capitals, and you can kind of transfer one to another if you're skilled.
And plan for what your ultimate goal is. If you had $1 billion, what would you actually do? Sure, first you would buy a lot of stuff, and you would buy stuff for your friends, and you would go on a couple of travels, and you would party hard like there is no tomorrow. But after a year or so, when this novelty of having a lot of money wears off, just think about how your future would actually look. What is it that you really like doing when you're not just putting on a show for others?
Yeah, well said. So to do a recap of what we've been talking about, you have these four capitals: social capital, financial capital, cultural capital, and authority capital or influence capital, whichever you like. And build them over time. You might not be able to build multiple at a time. You can maybe only focus on one at a time, but always consider all four. And you can think about it each quarter. Think of it like a framework. Maybe you didn't make more money this quarter, but maybe you learned a lot. Maybe you got to know a lot of really cool people that can be helpful later, or that are really good friends. Or maybe you actually did make a lot of money, but you had to neglect basically your social circle or didn't get to know anyone because you were just stuck in front of the computer and working. But think about all four of those.
So think in terms of how you can lever one or two of the capitals in order to make a third or a fourth stronger. And then in the next cycle, use number three and four maybe to make number one and two even stronger. And you keep doing this with an ultimate goal in mind. Maybe it's maxing out on one specific of the capitals. So this is how you're supposed to use this mental model in order to actually achieve what you really want.
Yeah, and as a final thing, If you want, you can kind of like a noble indulgence, you can watch The Defiant One, the documentary series with Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, because this, I think it really hammers it in when you see Jimmy Iovine.
All right, that's it for today. A big thanks to our sound guy, Alexander Martin. And also, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.